Well, today we are concluding our series that we started about 8 weeks ago on getting out of our comfort zone. Getting out of our comfort zone. And let me say a shout out today to all those listening via the internet. A lot of you maybe not know this, but we get emails from around the world. From around the world and around the country, especially from people who are listening to our broadcast, either from, I don't know how they found us. Some people may know somebody and somebody told them about it, but they are listening to us. And so we just thank you for tuning in and listening to us every week today. And we hope that you are challenged. I know I have a lot of family who's listening today, and I hope that you have a great Thanksgiving holidays, and my love is with you. But today we have a recliner on stage, and we are using this recliner as a symbol of comfort. And we're talking about leaving this comfort zone. Leaving this comfort zone. And we've talked about over the last 8 weeks that God has given us what? He's given us this recliner. It's a place of comfort in Him that we have. There's this place of comfort and security in Christ that we have. And I should feel secure. I should feel secure in who He is. But at the same time, He has never called me just to live here in my comfort zone the rest of my life. He hasn't called me just to live in this place of trying to be secure all my life. But He says, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. That's just a time and place that you are to get out of your comfort zone and to stretch yourself and allow God to use you to do some things. And to be able to be used of God, it means you got to leave your comfort zone. And today we're going to conclude with this thought I wanted to talk to you about learning to do whatever. Everybody say whatever. Isn't that a great title? Learning to do whatever. My kids use that word a lot, and I don't like it. So have you ever heard them say those words? Whatever. Whatever. And so today we're learning to do whatever, okay? We're going to talk about that more, and I'll explain more as we get into the middle of this sermon why that title is called Learning to Do Whatever. But today I want to look at Jonathan and his life in 1 Samuel chapter 14. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, we're going to read verses 1 and 6 here in just a minute. But let me set the story up for you here. Israel. Jonathan is the son of the king, King Saul's son, Jonathan, and they are in a battle. The Philistines have taken control of the region. They are depressing and coming to take over the camp there. They're wanting to take over Israel and take control of them. So the Philistines have come against Saul and his army and the people of God. And we see this is such a great fight because it says right here, before we get to verse 1, in the previous chapter, it says that they had a great supply of weapons. It says they were down to two swords. Now, how many know that's a great way to start off a battle, isn't it? Two swords. And it says, and I like the scripture because it says that there was two swords left. And it says King Saul and his son Jonathan had them. Now, who would figure that? I mean, how would you like to be in control of that supply? There's only two swords left. Well, I guess one for the king and one for my son. Nothing political about that at all, is there? But we see how that was happening here. So there's two swords left, and the children of Israel are in hiding. They are hiding. They're like, what are we going to do here? You know, we're about to be overtaken. This is such a dark time for Israel. And we see Jonathan awaken in the middle of the night. Let's see what he has to say in verse 1. Now, it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines, Gerasim, and there that is on the other side. But he did not tell his father. And then Jonathan, verse 6 says here, and then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Don't you love how he's just getting already, you know? He's already getting there. Are these uncircumcised Philistines? Why can't they just say Philistines? And that, you ever wonder why, you know? There's something about a man going into war. And he just got to throw in that extra punchline there. You know, not I'm just going to go to these Philistines, but I'm going to take on these uncircumcised Philistines. Okay. So you see the attitude rising up in him. It may be that God, look what it says. It says it may be. He's full of confidence here. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving many or by few. And so Jonathan gets this bright idea in the middle of the night. He wakes up and says, you know what? Psst, armor bearer, come on. Jonathan, you know what time it is? Yeah. Guess what? You and I, we're going to go plan a sneak attack. Let's go right now. I mean, how many know that sounds like a great idea? that here we are, we got the Philistines, the uncircumcised Philistines, over there waiting to attack, waiting to pounce on the children of Israel. The children of Israel got two swords, and that's it. They're in hiding, and all of a sudden Jonathan gets up and says, hey, let's go take them on. Let's do it. Let's go pick a fight with these guys. That's what he was saying. Let's go pick a fight with these guys. I mean, now, listen, I am a person who probably in my younger age probably did a few things with fighting that I'm not very proud of. But one thing I learned from a very young age was this, that, you know, if the numbers aren't on your side, and if the size is not on your size, you don't pick a fight, okay? You know, I'm real brave when I had a bunch of friends around me. But when I'm by myself somewhere else and there's a bunch of their friends, I know I need to keep my mouth shut. When I go to a game and I'm on the visitor's side, sitting on the home side, and I'm a visitor, I know I'm not going to mouth off at that game. I'm not going to take on 10,000 fans. That's just not going to happen. I'm smarter than that. But this is the king's son here. He's an intelligent man. He's been schooled by the best scholars in the world. He's been schooled and prepared to take over the throne. The next king of Israel wakes up with this great idea. Hey, let's go, man. Let's go pick a fight. Shh, just you and I. Just don't tell Dad, because he'll want to bring something. No, it's you and I go pick a fight with these guys. This is the next king of Israel. All right, we see the, no wonder God had to raise up David, okay? Not a lot of sense there, does it, seems like. But you know what Jonathan was doing right here? What I believe was probably the most important thing that we can do as Christians. He was doing what I believe is the most important thing that we can do as far as pleasing the heart of God, is he made a choice that day. He got up and simply was making a choice. He got up and said, I am choosing to do something for God. Whether I know, because I know this, the way he says here, I know that in verse 1, it says, it goes down here, by many or by few. By many or by few, whether there's a whole army or just a few of us, if God is on our side, that God is more than able to work through us. And he was choosing at that moment not to hide. He was choosing at that moment to get out of a comfort zone. He was choosing to leave a place of security, a place of shelter, and say, you know what? I'm tired of this. Enough's enough. Hey, let's go. You and me, we got the sword. Let's head out. We're going to take an ambush on these guys. Ambush with two guys. It doesn't sound like a very wise move, but we see later where God really honors this move, and we see something happen here as a choice that he was making, a choice that he was making to follow after God, a choice that he was making to do something for God. How many believe that choices are the most important thing we make every day? How many do this? How many make a choice to breathe every day? Raise your hand if you make a choice to breathe every day. Obviously you do, or you wouldn't be here. But how many know that we don't really think about it, but it just happens, doesn't it? I didn't get up this morning going, oh, man. Woo, I'm going to choose to breathe. No, I got up and I just began to breathe. But how many know that I can't go very long without air, without oxygen? It's the most important thing I do today is decide to breathe. When it comes to living, the most important thing I can do is decide to breathe. In, out. You know, I choose to breathe. Why? Because that's how my life goes. That's how I live. It's this important choice that I make, but I take it for granted so much that I forget that I even choose to do it. I didn't get up thinking, I'm choosing to breathe today, but it just happens because it's the most important thing we do. Choices today are the most important thing that we do. Choosing, this choice of choosing to do God's will, this choice of choosing that I'm going to do something for God becomes the most important thing we can do that comes to pleasing God. It started in the Garden of Eden. We see in the Garden of Eden where God said, hey, Adam and Eve, I'm giving you a choice. He said, I'm going to give you two choices, didn't he? Did he? No, he didn't. He said, I'm going to give you basically one bad choice and then lots of good choices. He says, don't eat of this tree right here, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it. But the rest of the trees, the rest of the fields, the rest of the harvest. Man, you can have it all. It is yours. And isn't it interesting that in the garden they had all these choices, one bad choice, many good choices, but yet human beings, mankind, chooses to do the one bad choice. We struggle with choices, and it started even in the garden. But God was all about choices. He was like, hey, lots of good, one bad. And every day of our life, I believe it's very true that you and I have choices. We have a lot of choices, and our choices will dictate to us growth or death. Let me say it again. Our choices will dictate to us either growth or death. That our choices will either help us grow or they'll help us die. That will help us grow spiritually or help us die spiritually. Okay? And so we have many choices, but so many of us find ourselves living our life making the wrong choice. Why is it that we struggle with the bad choice? And God says, I got all these other great choices for you, but we will find the one bad choice and we'll go do it. You see, the most important thing we can do is learn to make the right choice. Learning to serve God and say, God, I'm going to live for you. I love what Scripture says about this. Ecclesiastes 10:2 says this, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but the fool's heart is at his left. He's saying basically what he's saying is translates to the wise man turns to the right, but the fool turns to the left. That we are full of choices every day, and the wise man is a wise man who chooses to do the right things. The wise man chooses to do the good things. The fool chooses to do the one bad. The fool will choose to find the one thing that he can't do and do it, but the wise man says, there's many choices that I can make that are good, and I'll do it. I wonder today if I made a conscious decision in myself to say, you know what, I'm going to continue my life to turn to the right. I'm going to continue to turn to the right in my life. I'm going to teach my family, my kids, and we're going to just turn to the right. We're going to continue to make good choices in our life. We're going to continue to try to do the right thing. We're going to abandon the wrong choice and look after the many wise choices that God has for us and do the right thing. If I did that and you did that, can you imagine the culture change in a church? Can you imagine the culture change in a family? Can you imagine the culture change in a community where people are turning to the right instead of to the left? That people are learning to say, I'm going to turn and make the right choice to do the right thing. I'm going to learn to have a heart after God. And so many times we find ourselves right here making the wrong choice because we like it right here. And God says, I want you to make the right choice. Turn to the right. Our life is full of choices. They are helping me grow or die. But I believe this. We pretend we don't know God's will for our life. I've had people tell me this. I don't know God's will for my life. I'm just waiting on God. But today, I believe that the statement is not true that we don't know God's will for our life. I believe the statement is true that we just don't have the guts to do the right thing. That's easy to hear, isn't it? But it's the truth. I don't believe that we just don't know what God wants us to do. I believe we have a lot of good choices. But I believe we just don't have the guts to do it. It's the reason why we continue to turn to the left. Why we still will find out that bad thing and do it, because we don't have the guts to do what God's calling us to do. And a part about getting out of your comfort zone and learning to do whatever is having the guts to say, I'm going to make the right decision. I'm going to do the thing that pleases God and do what he's asked me to do. And that's to get up and make a decision that I choose. I choose to do something for God, to do the things that please him. Jonathan had to make a choice. Jonathan had to make a choice on what he was going to do, and he chose to get up and to do something. He chose to get up and not live in hiding any longer. He chose to get up and not to live in fear, but to say, I'm going to do something, and I'm going to trust the Lord as we do it. We make excuses. Isn't it funny? You know, as Christians, we make up so many excuses why we can't do something for God. I would choose to do something for God, but this is probably the best one I've ever heard, the best excuse, and we use it so much, and we twist it around so much, but I just got to pray about it first. Come on, we've all used that excuse. Won't we just say, I don't have the guts to do it yet. I don't know if I can do it yet, but instead I'll say, well, let me just pray about it first. Hoping that person will never ask you to do it again, or hoping that you can just kind of buy your time. We hear so many excuses. I just got to pray about it. And I think, you know, wow. I don't have to pray about doing what God wants me to do. Because I know I've got right choices to make. God, do you want me to do what's right? Lord, speak to me. Do you want me to do what's right? Like he's going to say, my son, please don't do what's right. Contradicting what my word says, do not do what's right. God, are you sure? The pastor says I need to turn to the right. No, no, no. Turn to the left. Be a fool. He's not going to do that. We know that. I don't have to pray about making the right choices in my life. God wants me to make right choices. And so when I come and say, we need more preschool workers, I don't need to pray about that. God, do you want me to reach children? God, do you want me to love on those kids and let them know that you love them? God, do you want me to help teach those kids and to train them and to help form their minds and their hearts towards you in their young, impression years when 90% of their personality is formed in those first 5 years? God, do you want me to love those kids? Yes! I don't have to fast and pray about that. God, do you want me to help my neighbor? They're struggling. I don't know if it's Christmas, but I should be the one who goes to them and takes them something for Christmas and let them know that you love them. God, should I show your love this Christmas? God, speak to me because I don't want to move without your voice, Lord. I don't have to fast and pray about that. It's the heart of God. And when I make a choice to act on the heart of God, I'm pleasing him. God, do you want me to get off my behind and to do something for you, Lord? I don't have to fast and pray about that. He says, get out of your comfort zone. Oh, I'm preaching better and you're saying amen this morning. How many know the truth is going to bring freedom to us? Listen, we all get there. I don't preach to you without preaching to myself. Knowing that if we're not careful, we'll use things for excuses. Oh, I'll pray about that. No, we need to reach people. We need to reach people. God wants us to do things, to get out of our comfort zone, to reach people for him. We choose to do the right thing. I've heard this excuse, you know. Well, brother, I just don't want to get ahead of God. That's a brilliant answer, isn't it? Well, brother, I just don't want to get ahead of God. I don't want to run ahead of God. You must think God is really slow. It's like God's not saying, "Whoo, slow down, Carlos. You're running too fast for me. Whew, I'm out of breath." God's not there spiritually out of breath. We're not going to run ahead of God. I'm just waiting for God's will to be done in my life and for him to tell me God's will. God's will is that we get off our backside and do something for him. I can tell you God's will. It's a very easy thing. God's will is today. What I see needs to be done, do it, saith the Lord your God today. I don't have to fast or pray. God, what? No, he shows me things every day that need to be done. And my job is to choose to do them. My job is to choose in faith that God, whether it's just me or I have a multitude, it's going to be done because you're going to be with me, God. Freedom of choice. Choosing to make wise decisions. Choosing to get involved. Choosing to touch people for the heart of God. It should be no surprise that God works through proactive people. God works with those who dare to trust him. God will work through those who dare, like Jonathan, to get up and say, God, these people, these uncircumcised Philistines,
are coming against you, and I've had enough. I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to trust you because, God, I know you're big enough. I don't have to pray about that. I know, God, you're big enough to defeat the enemies that come against the house of God. And so I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to do battle because I know that God is on my side. Isn't it no wonder that God will work through proactive people? So we find it here that Jonathan wakes up his armor bearer and says, let's go pick a fight. I mean, what a great strategy, huh? Hey, just you and me. Let's go pick a fight. Come on. And what kind of armor bearer was this? You know, okay, let's do it. I mean, wow, we got one sword, two guys. How would you like to be the armor bearer, you know? I get to carry the sword, yay, until he needs it, and then he gets it. And I'm left there with nothing. It's just his armor bearer. Come on, let's go. Let's go over to the other side where the Philistines are. Let's pick a fight with them. There's no strategy behind it. You know, I believe this, that I know people who have done great things for God, and then they write this big book later about it. And I will say this to you, that most of them had no idea what they were doing until after it was accomplished. And then we're like, oh, this is what God did. But many times, it was just people who said, God, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to go after you. I know you got a heart to reach my city. I know you got a heart to reach my community. And God, I'm going to go after it. I'm going to challenge people to go after it. And together, we're going to go after it. And we're going to make a difference. We'll write the book later. We'll write our story later about how you brought us through and about how you showed us the way and how you came through and empowered us. But right now, our strategy is, God, if you be for us, who can be against us? Right now, my strategy is, God, whether it be by many or by few, God, you will empower us to make a difference. See the strategy behind his here. It's not very, it doesn't make sense in our mind. Many times leaving our comfort zone will not make sense to us. Many times it takes, you know what makes a lot more sense is to wait here until the numbers are just right. It makes a lot more sense to wait here until the numbers all add up. It makes sense to wait here until I'm a little bit more spiritually mature. I'm waiting until the next big revival, and then God, I'm getting out. See, it takes courage to move out of your comfort zone. Get out there. God uses these kind of people. We think we're going to mess up God's sovereign will in our life. I've heard this said many times. Well, brother, I just don't want to mess up God's sovereign will. I know God's got a will for my life, and I just don't want to mess that will up. And it's like, you know, if I was to go out today and begin to help somebody, what if God wants me to pastor a church? And right now, he's asking me just to go down and start a Bible study at my job. But what if I do that Bible study at my job and I never get to pastor my church because I started the Bible study? I don't want to mess up God's will. And when you get to heaven and you've reached people at your job and those people at your job have reached their family, and those families have reached their families. And when you get to heaven, this guy going to say, hey, you blew it. What were you doing having a Bible study, discipling people? I wanted you to pastor a church over here. He's not going to do that. Matter of fact, I believe if you'll be obedient and do the Bible study, that he will find you where he wants you to be. He will place you where he wants you to be. How do I get to step A, B, C, and D? One step at a time. I've got a vision, brother, to do this. That's fine. Well, get a vision for your life today and let God take you there. Some of us want to be transported. Oh, beam me up, Jesus. And place me into that will you have for my life. I've got a dream that God, one day, I'm going to reach thousands of people for you and I'm going to do this. That's fine, but can you clean the toilets? That's fine, but can you work in the nursery? That's fine. Can you work on a work night? That's fine. Can you come to get involved in a small group and get relationships with people who need you? I just don't want to miss God's will. You're not going to miss God's will when you choose every day to do what's at his heart. See what I'm getting at? See, as Christians, we'll use these excuses to keep us from getting out of our comfort zone and doing what God's asked us to do. Now, some of you may say, Pastor, how do you know all these excuses? Well, I hear a lot of them, and I've used a lot of them. So I'm preaching to you as well as myself today. We got to quit using these excuses and choose to do the right thing. It's time to do something, to get out of our comfort zone and to do something. So let's talk about this whatever. In our men's group, Body for Life group, we talked about this verse, this passage of Scripture, and I thought it was really key today to use, and I want to use it. Philippians 4 and 8 and 9. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Here's Paul, and Paul is telling us what we should be doing. This is how we live our life. Paul says this, finally, brethren, look on the overhead, says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, do these things. These things which you have learned and received and have heard and saw in me, these things do, and God of peace will be with you. What was Paul saying? He was saying to do what is true, right? To do what is noble. To do what is just. To do what is lovely. But he's also saying doing what? Do what? Do whatever. What are my choices? My choices are not limited just to a few small things. Whatever things are true. Whatever things are noble. It's not like he's saying there's one thing that's true. There's not one thing that's noble. He's saying whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are pure, whatever things are just, whatever things have a good report, do these things. Whatever. Paul was a valley guy. Dude, whatever. You know, whatever. Whatever. That's what he's asking us to do. Do whatever. God, I'm just waiting for you to give me a sign. Lord, I'm in my comfort zone. God, if you'll just tell me what I need to do, and I'll do it. And God says, get up and do something. Just do something. Do whatever you can find your hand to do, do it. Whatever you see needs to be done, do it. Whatever needs pulling someone else to help out, you help out. Whatever needs to be done, we do it because that's the heart of God, that every day I make choices to do the right thing. Whatever needs to be done, I do it. Whether it be workers for our children, whether it be teachers, whether it be giving, whether it be here, but when I leave this building, whatever needs to be done, I do it. When I see needs around me, that I try to minister to people's needs. I see people who need love. Whatever they need, I try to love them. Whatever needs to be done, I do it. Well, Pastor, I'm waiting for you to come. I will do what you need me to do, but just come and you prophesy that God is wanting you to start this ministry, and I'll do it. And I'm saying, you find out whatever needs to be done and do it. Go to God. Say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And begin to open your eyes and let God show you. Let God show you. You should be coming to me, Pastor, I want to go to the jail. Pastor, I want to reach the homeless. Pastor, I want to reach unwed mothers. Pastor, I want to start the singles ministry. Pastor, I want to do this. Pastor, because I see it needs to be done. Listen, if it bothers you, you should be doing it. If you don't like the way things are done, then God is telling you to get involved and do it. It bothers me we don't have this ministry here. Well, get up and do it. I don't like the way they do this particular thing. Well, jump in and help. See? Whatever. Whatever. Learning to do whatever. Learning to do whatever. Paul was a prime example about this. This is a great story. I love this story. In Acts chapter 16, we see Paul, our hero of the Bible. If you want to turn there, we're going to close the story. It says this, and now, I didn't put this on the overhead, by the way. And some of you may ask, why, Pastor, didn't you put this on the overhead? Because I want you to get in the habit of bringing your Bible, okay? So if I put up every single scripture, then you don't need to bring your Bible. So I want you to get in the habit of still bringing your Bible to church and marking it and underlining it. So let me read the story to you in chapter 16, verse 6. The Macedonian call. Now, this is something, before I say that, this is a thing that we say many times in our life. If you've ever been in church all your life, you've heard people say, I'm just waiting for the Macedonian call in my life. Because Paul had clarity, didn't he? He had clarity about the Macedonian call. He was supposed to go and preach to the Macedonians. God gave him clarity, and some of you are waiting. I'm waiting for that clarity to come to me. I'm waiting for God to speak to me, the Macedonian call. Paul had this Macedonian call. Let's look at it. Verse 6 says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now he's heading to Asia because God's called him to Asia, right? He gets there and the Holy Spirit forbids him to preach. So obviously Paul went to the wrong place. And he goes, it's not Asia, guys. I was praying about it, and I know we came here, but we're not supposed to be here. The Lord is telling us to go by Mysia, and they came to Taurus. And it says in the verse 9, in the vision, listen what it says here. They also went to Bithynia. Bithynia. As they got to Bithynia, he says, it was not Asia. The Lord spoke to me. It was not Asia. It was Bithynia. Bithynia is where we're supposed to be. We are supposed to be there. I know it's God. So, guys, let's turn our course. Let's go there. And as it gets there, it says that the Spirit stopped him from preaching. Some translations say even the Spirit of Jesus. So, in Asia, the Holy Spirit stops him. He gets to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus stops him. And we got the whole Trinity here at work trying to stop Paul from doing the right thing here. Paul's like, I'm hearing God's voice. I'm just going to do something for God. And so we see where Paul is in. Look what happens here. He goes to sleep. The Spirit stops him from preaching. And it says a vision appeared. Paul goes to sleep, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And a man, look what it says, a man from Macedonia stood up, and he pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, can you get the picture here? Paul heads to Asia. The Holy Spirit says, no, man, you're going the wrong way. Turn around. Go to Bithynia. Oh, yeah, yeah, it's Bithynia. Hallelujah. Let's go to Bithynia, guys. And he goes to Bithynia. And he gets there, and the Spirit of Jesus says, no, you're in the wrong spot. Go. And he starts leaving. He goes to sleep. And there's a man. God sends him in a vision, a man in his dream, one man, begging. I thought this was clear. Paul. Macedonia. God wants you in Macedonia, Paul. Can you see the guy begging? It's Macedonia, not Asia. It's in Macedonia. And Paul gets up the next morning. Oh, I've heard from God. It's Macedonia. Isn't it amazing that Paul had more clarity when he was asleep than when he was awake? And this is our hero. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that Paul didn't always know where he was going to go. But Paul always knew why he was going. And it was in Paul's ability to say, you know what? Let's do it. You know what, Asia? They don't have anybody preaching over there. We'll be the biggest church in town. Let's go. Let's just do something. And on the way there, he gets turned by the Holy Spirit, and he goes to Bithynia. Oh, no, let's just go to Bithynia. And he gets there, and no, and then finally he gets clarity. No, I'm supposed to be in Macedonia. And finally he gets a clarity through vision. But I wonder if he would have ever got that clear vision if he had never went to Asia. Would he have ever got that clear vision if he went to Bithynia? I mean, finally God gives him a man begging in his sleep. Paul. Macedonia. Let me spell it out for you. It makes it easy for him. Would he have ever got that clarity of what he really needed to do if he had not stepped out? See, God's looking for us to step out and do something. He'll direct us where we need to go. If I was beginning out and love people, if I get out and do whatever needs to be done, and then he will direct me, he will lead me, he will grow me, he will take me to the next step in my life. And he uses these steps to connect the dot to get me to where he's taking me. But I don't get up and say, whoa, I've got to be this. And if I don't do this today, then I'll miss God's will. No, I get up. God's will is for me to get up and to do whatever needs to be done. Whoever needs to be loved. Whoever needs help. Whatever needs to be done. Do it. Do it. learning to do whatever. There's a story in the movie Far and Away, and this is kind of an average movie. I'm not recommending this movie to watch. It's not a great movie, but there's a movie with Tom Cruise back in the early 90s called Far and Away. There's this one scene in there that has where Tom Cruise is buying a horse. And as he goes to buy this horse, he's got two choices. He's got this wild maverick horse, but it's untamed. It's wild. And the guy says, you got this horse right here. It's untamed. It's wild. But this horse right here, it's calm. It's tamed. It's trustworthy. And so this man talks to Tom Cruise, and Tom Cruise picks the horse that's already broken in. He picks the horse that's already trustworthy. And he buys the horse and he takes it home. And the next day when he gets up and goes out there, that horse is laying over dead. The horse has fallen over dead. And this old man walks by and goes, that horse there is the oldest dang horse I ever saw in my life. And you say, what's so funny about that? Because, you know, that many times I believe that God wants to ride the wild maverick. I believe that God is looking to jump on the back of people who are saying, God, I don't have it all figured out yet. God, I don't have it all figured out, but I know who you are. God, I know that if I just begin to do whatever needs to be done, that God, you will empower me. God, you will direct me, and you will lead me. Whether it be with many or with few, God, if I do it for you, you're going to empower me, and you're going to work it out for good. God's looking for mavericks. God's looking for wild stallions. So get out there and just say, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get out of my comfort zone. I'm ready for God to use me. As we close today in 1 Samuel 14:8, we see where the story continues to go here in 1 Samuel. And we see where Jonathan turns to his armor bearer and he says, hey, let's go. In verse 8, he says, and Jonathan said, very well, cross over to these men, talking about the Philistines, and show ourselves to them. And they will say to us, wait until we come to you. Then we shall stand there in our place and not go up to them. But if they say to us, come up to us, then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hands, and this will be a sign to us. Now, what a great sign, huh? I mean, we're talking about the next king of Israel could be. He goes and says, hey, let's do a sneak attack. Let's go to the bottom of the mountain where they're at. I know there's only two of us, and there's a whole army there. We only got one sword. But let's go here, and we'll just pray. God, if they ask us to come up to them, we'll know it's a sign that you have given us victory. But if they say, we're going to come down to you, then we'll know that, God, you're not in it and we're leaving. Now, think about that. All right, there's only, you know, we're not going to use a strategy when they come down the mountain to us. You know, at least we can have some kind of fighting chance to chopping off their legs or something as they're climbing down the mountain. But if I have to go up the mountain, I'm a sitting duck, right? So, of course, they're going to say, hey, guys, come here. And what they did, they go to these guys, say, hey, yo, you Philistines, we're here. And say, hey, Joe, Jonathan, yeah. Hey, come here, guys, we got something we want to show you. That's what they said to them. Hey, guys, come here, we got something we want to show you up here at the top of the mountain. I mean, it sounds like a little third grade trap setting up right here. Hey, come around, let me show you something. I mean, you talk about an unthought out ambush. Come on up here, and John says, praise the Lord, that's our sign. God has delivered them into our hands. And so what do you have to do? The Word of God says that he then begins to crawl up the mountain on his hands and knees. Why is that important? Because you see, as he's crawling up to do battle with these guys, he is totally defenseless. He can't do a thing. His hands and his knees, there's no sword being carried. He's crawling up on his hands and knees. I mean, what did he do? Jonathan was at a place of no return. He had abandoned himself completely. Either God was going to do a miracle in his life and work this thing out, or he was dead. There was no defending himself. There was no way to getting out of this. He was a sitting duck. Oh, by the way, they win. By the way, they win. And that battle being won right there set into motion a tremendous victory for Israel, that freedom of so much things that we're going through in captivity. It was a tremendous freedom in the history of Israel. Because Jonathan got up and said, you know what? Let's just go for it. Let's go for it. Let's do something. Something's got to be done. Let's do it. Let's quit making excuses. and let's go for it. Today, we're talking about getting out of our comfort zones. Musicians come this morning. We can live our life right here where it's comfortable. Or we can say, God, I'm going to choose today to do whatever needs to be done. I'm going to choose today, God, to do whatever you need of us. I'm going to choose today to do, God, the right things. I'm going to choose to turn to the right. God, I know there's a bad choice here, but God, there's the whatever right here I can do. There's so many things in the whatever. There's so many pure things. There's so many good things I can do for you. There's so many things I can do that are so whatever is right here. So whatever I want to do, I can do it. It's out here for me to do. I'm going to quit turning to the left and doing the one thing I know I shouldn't do. And that's nothing. And the things that lead to destruction. But I'm going to start doing things and turning to the right that bring life. Life to the kingdom of God. Life to my life. Life to my family. I'm going to choose to continue to turn to the right. I'm going to choose to get out of my comfort zone. Let's bow our heads today. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning as I ask you this question. You say, Pastor, as you're talking today, I realize that in my heart that not only am I not choosing to do the right thing, I've never made a choice to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And today, before I leave this building today, I want to make a choice to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior today. It's the first and the most important choice you can ever make in your life today. Nobody's looking but me. I would not embarrass you, but I do want you just to raise your hand today. You say, that's me, Pastor. I want to make that choice today. Can you raise your hand where I can see it? I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Anybody here today, can you raise that hand? Second question I have for you is this. So, Pastor, as you're talking today, I realized that I just need to begin to do whatever. I need to begin to do some right choices in my life. God's calling me through this series, not only today, but through this series, that God is calling me to get out of my comfort zone, to open my eyes to what needs to be done for the kingdom of God, just to begin to do things again. And for whatever reason, whether it be because of a past hurt, maybe it was a bad thing that happened at your last church, maybe it was something bad that happened to you by somebody else, but for whatever reason, you've allowed yourself to stay there in the comfort zone, afraid to get out and to do something for God. And today, say, Pastor, I want to make a choice that I'm going to begin to do the whatever again. I'm going to make a choice to get out and begin to serve you today and serve God in a way I haven't done in a long time. I'm going to step out on faith and just begin to do things for God. I want to make some right choices, begin to turn to the right more often. I want to begin to look for the right thing to do. God's speaking to you today about getting out of your comfort zone or about making these right choices, about getting past these things and say, this is me today. I'm making a declaration to God that I'm getting out of my comfort zone. I'm going to be used of God. Can you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. God's been speaking to me through this series. Yeah, thank you. Several hands. Anybody else? Thank you, guys. Just being honest. Thanks. Say, God's speaking to me. Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Several hands going up. I'm going to ask you to stand with me today, and I'm going to say this closing prayer. I want to pray especially for those who raised your hands today. I believe God's Spirit is going to empower you to do the right thing. I believe God's Spirit is going to empower you to do the whatever. And it's through that process that you learn to do the whatever that God's going to. I believe that we're going to have people coming to me over this next few months saying, Pastor, I want to start this ministry. Pastor, I want to get involved in this particular ministry. God, I want to help do this. God's going to begin to show you things. God's going to begin to show you the whatever that needs to be done. And we're going to expand. We're going to begin to expand to see even more ministries being done, not only in-house but out-house, as people are going out and reaching people. I believe that with all my heart, as we leave our comfort zone to see the world as Christ has been asked to see, to be fishers of men, be followers of Christ. Father, I pray for every person today to raise their hand.
to make a choice, Lord, today. They are making a choice, Lord, that they want to be followers of you. That they want to get out of their comfort zone, God, and begin to do something for you. So whatever. Whatever needs to be done, God, that you will show them and begin to do it, God. I'm not looking for permission, but God, I'm just looking for your spirit to empower them. God, I just pray today that your Holy Spirit today would help them, God. Help all of us, God, to get out of our comfort zone, God, and begin to do the whatever. Whatever needs to be done, we'll do it. Whatever needs to be done, we'll help. Whatever needs to be done, Father, we'll step out and do it. Getting out of our comfort zone, God, and giving you glory. And God, I pray today that your Spirit would empower those who raise their hands today. Father, your Spirit would empower them, God, to get out of that comfort zone. And God, to make a choice to make a difference in their world that you have placed them in. And Father, may we lay aside excuses. May we lay aside our past. May we lay aside hurt. May we lay aside things that have stopped us, Lord, from stepping out. May we get out of that recliner today, Lord. And may we move toward trusting you in every area of our life. May we be that wild maverick, God, who's saying, the Lord's got to be with me. And putting our trust solely upon you, Lord. Our trust fully on you, Lord. We thank you today, God, that you are empowering us to make these choices. That we turn to the right, and not to the left. We choose today to do the whatever that you have asked us to do. And we say yes today. And we say it together. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Thank you so much for being here. Enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday. And we'll see you back next Sunday morning.